Hello, everyone. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. How is everybody? Hello, Marie. Good to hear from you. Hello, Esther. Everyone can come off mute if you like. You don't need to stay on mute. Up to you. You can't hear me. Robert. Can you hear me now? Oh, someone can. Diana, have you turned your volume up?
I can.
Very good, good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello, everyone joining. Welcome. Hello. Good to see you. Penultimate session. Oh.
Ooh.
Hello,
Yeah.
Peter. Got two
There
of you
we go.
again. Of course, we've got two of you.
The other one of me. You've done it again, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm like, this one.
Wonderful, good Diana. I'm pleased to hear
That one. It's down to me now. Okay. That's better.
still got one of you. Should I try and kick that one out? So chat room,
Yeah.
remove co-host, rename assign. Just remove.
Okay.
Move. I'm moving them. Until later. Get out.
The host has been removed, it says. Hang
Oh,
on.
well, then maybe that I'm the host because I started the meeting. It's
I've just
okay.
vanished.
No,
Can't
you
see
haven't.
you.
I've still got you. I've got
I
you.
can't see you though.
Oh.
Let's see where am I? Let's have a look.
Well, we've got you anyway. That's the most important thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
See if we can get back in so I can see where you
But you are in. I've got you. I can see you. I can
Yeah,
hear you.
but I can't see anybody else. I can't see anybody.
Oh.
My screen, the screen's gone.
Oh.
What's it doing? Is it, have you hit the wrong one of me or something?
No, because
It's
I've got you. I can see you. I can see your
just weird.
forehead.
Yeah,
The
I'll
infamous
get back in.
forehead.
I'll get back in. Okay. And I come back in again. Now it's in.
Can hear your crickets, I can hear your geckos, I can hear everything.
Yeah, that's all there. Yep.
Yeah.
Where's it gone? Oh, here it comes. It's appearing. Trying to connect. Okay. Oh, got two. There's two of me again. Hang on.
I know. I just told you
This is silly.
that.
Well, get rid of that one.
You are funny.
Let's get rid of this one.
Yeah, maybe it's your shadow. Don't worry about it.
Hang on, there's
Oh,
three of you now.
now I can hear you twice. Peter, what have you done? To take just leave.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, I've got you.
Yeah, I'm still looking like this. Three of me up there. Okay,
No, so
an echo.
one of them will be Sitika because she's admin, and
I've
then
still got an echo.
two of them are you. Well, we can hear you fine, but obviously you don't want to have the echo. So, if you like, Peter, you can leave and come back in.
We'll try to get rid of one of them. It's gone. That's it. I can still hear myself.
Do you want to leave and come back in?
Yeah, I'll try that again.
Okay. We can never understand why when Peter joins, there's always two of him that joins. We're trying to figure that out, but we're not quite sure what's going on. So we don't know what the deal is with that. Anyone's got this experience, that would be wonderful. But I would love to know how you all are, where you all are in your progress in the Ultimate Healing Part 1. How many modules have you managed to work your way through? How do you feel about it? How's the work going? Maybe you've done none of it. Maybe you've done all of it. Maybe you've done some of it. Maybe you're stuck at a particular place. Maybe you're loving a particular part. Everything is welcome. So just let us know. Where are you? How are you doing? Those of you that are repeating, what is it like the second time around? Be curious to know your experiences. Hello again.
Right, come back to the side of me, it looks like. Yeah.
I've just asked everybody to let us know in the chat how they're doing, okay, where they are, what they're getting on with, what's their favourite parts. Mm-hmm. So people will hopefully be typing away, letting us know that. Is it possible? No, he's definitely only connecting from one device, that's for sure. But Peter, we've only got one of you now, so that's worked perfectly.
Good, yeah, that's worked.
Yeah. I am going to ask you to put your lids down slightly so we don't just have your forehead. Going through module 6. Well done, Stefan. Stefan, that's fabulous, isn't it? Because didn't you get stuck last time? I think it was you that was challenged with being able to progress with the content. Okay. From Belgium, I did 4 modules and I'm blocked to move further. Just the thing I was afraid of. Welcome that, Anne. Mm-hmm. What is it about moving forward beyond module 4 that concerns you, that fear, that you're afraid of, or that you don't want to look at? It's my mum who is stuck. Is your mum doing it as well then, Stefan? I didn't realise. We just started Ultimate Healing Part 2, practicing Chandali 3. Well done, Esther, because that's right. Get ready for it when you start all the other Chandalis. It's a wonderful experience. Second time around. Yes, Lynn Marie, I know. Still feel like I'm clearing really basic things. Very frustrating. What a great question, or what a great thing to present. Maybe you would like a hot seat today to look at that.
You're still clearing stuff. It's still working. That's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's no point in judging it as basic if it stays to go. If it's still coming up, keep clearing it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the frustrations that I have as well. Like, you think you've done something and then something else comes up. You're like, oh, it's the layers though, right?
Well, that's why you're doing the work. Mm. Keep doing it until there isn't any more. If you feel frustrating, that's another emotion, remember. You go through the apathy and you get bored of the same old stuff. That's itself another pattern. You got expanded into the apathy and the feeling that it's all kind of basic. And it's where you judge it.
I've been experiencing a lot of boredom lately, like even boredom of my dog. How can I get bored of a dog? But you have to welcome the boredom, right? Yep. So Lynn Marie, yes, you can have a hot seat today. Thank you very much. Of course you can. If anybody else would like a hot seat, and you can have one on module 6, 7, 8, you can have one on the shadow exercise itself. You can have a hot seat on anything you like. Please put your name in the chat and then you will get personal time with Peter and he will walk you through whatever process is needed. But I do need to know your name. Does the course stay available? Absolutely, Anne. You have lifetime access to all of the content that you currently have. It's only the webinars that run out. But then if and when we do the next round of webinars next year, then you'll be invited to join us again if you would like to. But the content, the online content, remains yours, lifetime access. Stefan, she bought it last year, but she's not in this group. I was hoping we would be... Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, everyone is welcome for Ultimate Healing Part 2. And I'll be talking about that in just a second as well. We'll be talking about what happens after this, after Ultimate Healing Part 1. So we are, well, we're 10 minutes past the hour, so I'll get going. Hot seat on blockage, how to move on. And it's yours. You've got a hot seat. Okay, so we're 10 minutes past the hour, so I'm going to get moving on. Today, Peter is going to be talking to you about Module 6, 7 and 8, and particularly the shadow exercise. But of course, if you have any questions, if you have any concerns, if you have any challenges, blockages, if you just want to explore, any part of the Ultimate Healing Part 1, then your questions are welcome. So please do put them in the chat. I've got one pre-submitted question so far. The other thing that I wanted to talk to you about is, well, we are on our penultimate webinar. The next webinar that we will have is going to be the aftercare webinar. So once you've gone through all of this content, what happens next? Like, how do you deal with it? How do you deal with yourself? What could you do to make sure that the healing crisis is run out and you're not stuck permanently in one? So next one, we will be looking at aftercare and integration of all of the content that you have covered thus far. And of course, answering any outstanding questions that you might have about any of the content. Now, it doesn't matter if you finish the content or not. Remember, you can go through this at your own pace. So you please do attend, whether you've completed or not completed. It does not matter. Then after the aftercare session, we will be moving on to Ultimate Healing Part 2. And that is all about the practical part of holding the points. So I want to talk a little bit about that. Before I move on to the structure of that, Peter, is there anything that you would like to say to the group about Ultimate Healing Part 2?
It's the most practical part. First of all, going to be taking you through the process of appreciation to show you how powerful that is. Then you're going to be going to hold points first in yourself. Then if you want to work with somebody else, how to point holding other people as well. So we'll be doing longer sessions. We do webinars. It'll be 2, 3, 4 hours even to actually take you through the full point holding. To go through the whole process, where you see the powerful healing work, we go right through your process, everything comes up, the body changes. So it's going to get the really practical part. What I'd like you to do before we get onto point holding is as many of the chandalis as you can. The higher level you go to, the more heat you get from the point holding. More kundalini, more burning you get, and the faster transformation.
So just a little bit more about that. So someone's already put in the chat that they have started to work through Ultimate Healing Part 2 already. Ultimate Healing Part 2 is going to be available for you to buy straight away. So you can start, when you purchase, you get the manual. And in the manual, just like in the Part 1 manual, you've got all the instructions of how to start working through all of the chandali attunements. So you can start building that power, as Peter was just saying. So there is no delay. You can purchase the course now and you can start to work your way through that. Also, as part of the course, obviously you've got your personal review of the manual. We are going to be holding a minimum of 4 webinars. The first one, as Peter has just said, is all about appreciation and how to assist someone through the point holding process yourself and somebody else, if you're holding somebody else's points. The second webinar is all of watching Peter press all of his body parts. It's fun. It is a good fun and comical webinar. It's very practical. It's very moving. I'm there with the camera moving all around, and he's going to show you how around the body to find all of the points that you can and could press. So that's good fun.
They'll be getting you to press them as well, so you can make sure you got the painful spots.
Exactly. Find where it
hurts, basically.
Yeah, so this is a really fun and practical session on how to find the hurting points on your own body, and so that you realise what kind of whelp you're looking for, and that's the point that you need to hold. On the third webinar, we're actually going to go into the point holding. So this is where Peter's talking about the potential four-hour session. You are going to be literally finding a point to press, and you're going to be pressing it, and you're going to be holding it on yourself, and you're going to be releasing all of those blocked emotions. So it's very, very practical. And we say 4 hours because we have to allow that amount of time, because it can, for some, take that amount of time. Anywhere between 2 to 4 hours, hey, Peter, for people. Yeah. And when you finish, you can go. You don't have to stay for the full 4 hours, but you obviously want to stay till the end of your process. And then in the next webinar, you actually get the opportunity to work with somebody else if you want to. So this is where you get to invite someone else in, or maybe in the group, there's someone who lives in your area and you want to partner up, and you actually get to hold somebody else's points. If you don't have someone within the group near you, you don't want to meet up, then it doesn't matter. Just bring someone in, anyone, and then you practice finding a point on their body and you press their points so that you can go through that appreciation process with them. And then the other one that we will do is... I've got myself mixed up. No, I haven't. Hold someone up, Zuba. Oh, yeah, that is the four. That's the 4 sessions. The other thing that we're going to be doing, or that Peter will be doing, obviously, involved in this entire part two, you get 17 empowerments and attunements alongside all of these webinars that Peter will be holding and all of the content in the manual. So what you're going to experience is you're going to experience how to assist someone to work through a healing session, or to take those through that, to take that person through a healing session. You're going to figure out how to find what points to press on yourself and on other people. So if you want to take this as part of your healing practice to your audience, then you can. You're going to have minimum of two fully guided point holding sessions, one for you and one for holding somebody else's points. You're going to have the practical application of all of the meditations that are held within the manual and all of the theory, practical application of the theory that we have covered in this Ultimate Healing Part 1, because this is where all of it comes up when you're actually holding the points. And of course, you are going to have all of the attunements and the Chandali empowerments as well. So that's 17 attunements and Chandali up to level 9. Is that right, Peter?
Yep.
Up to level 9. Yeah. We are going to be sending out an email and a MeWe post in the week, letting you know more content about what's involved in Part 2, the price, and the exact dates as well of when we're going to be holding these webinars. So please do keep an eye out for that. But we did want to let you know that that information is coming and that we were going to be starting at the end of July, because we have one more session in this point holding, Part 1, and then we're going to get straight into Part 2, where we're actually going to be doing the practical. Stefan, so if my mum wanted to join Ultimate Healing Part 2, she has to at least get to Chandali level 2, question, even though she hasn't learned to discreate anything.
She can catch up on that, as long as she has got the Chandali. Probably when we're on the seminars doing the actual point holding, it'll actually encourage her, because some people just need that support. If she's there holding a point and being supported, she'll get something out of it. She'll actually go through a process.
Mm-hmm. And that's a great point as
Sorry,
well.
I want to mention, for some, if some people just want to do the second point audio themselves, again, that's okay. If you can't find somebody else to work on, you can just do another session yourself. That's fine too.
And during the point holding sessions, they are completely guided and supported by Peter. So your mics can be on. We encourage you to have your mics on throughout the entire time so that you can talk freely. You can discuss what you're experiencing. You can share what's happening. And then Peter can step in and guide and do whatever is necessary. So it's literally just like an in-person point holding session. Everyone is there. In fact, Peter, would you say it's actually more powerful online than in person? Or
no, it's it can be more powerful because you're more prepared. Having done this kind of at home part one, taking your time to learn it all is making you more prepared. So normally in the in-person sessions, you've done everything in one go. You know, from day one, you're learning and getting straight into point holding. You haven't had a chance to take the time you've had on the first course to work with it. It's going to be more powerful because you're more ready. It'll be this probably the same as an in-person point holding, apart from that. You're holding a point. I'm here giving transmissions and guiding you. It'll all work the same way.
Mm-hmm. And Duncan is asking, will we know how to find the points even after the video if Peter is deleted? I don't know if Peter will ever be deleted. I hope he's never deleted. But I think what he's asking is, how will he know how to find the points after your webinar?
The videos are recorded. It's all in the manual as well. The manual's got the points in it. In the video, I show you how to find them. And of course, once you found them on yourself, you remember them because they hurt. Once you know how to press a point where it's sore, you have all the points there. And you won't forget it easily, because once you pressed it, you know where it is.
We have got some fandangle diagrams in the manual as well. So you will see diagrams where all the points are along the meridians, along the acupuncture points. So you don't have to fear about that. I'm going to show you that in a second. I'm going to share my screen. Next question. Are the 17 additional attunements, do you do them at your own time, like the Chandali, or do we have to be live in the class? No.
They're all in orbs. So you can do it in your own time.
There you go. Next question from Dinah. I'm only up to file 7, Rage. I've moved house 3 times since April and having difficulty getting... Oh, hang on. So will I know... Oh, yeah, this is relevant right now. So she's up to file 7, up to the Rage point in the manual. She's moved house, having difficulty getting down to study, although I got caught up with the Fairy and Dragon course that I found really exciting. So I will now stay with Ultimate... Oh. Well, there you go. Sorry, that wasn't a question. It was a statement. She's now staying with Ultimate Healing. She's completed Dragon and Fairies. Well done, Dinah, because I think that's great if you've been moving house for 3 times. Yes. Any other questions about Ultimate Healing Part 2? I know it's very initial. We've only just introduced it, but please do let us know if you've got any questions as they come up. The only prerequisite for you taking part in Ultimate Healing Part 2 is that you have completed part one, and that you are at a minimum of Chandali level two. Is there an early bird prize for Ultimate Healing Part 2? Oh, Stefan puts on the spot, eh? I don't know if I think we'll be talking about that in the week, and we will let you know. An email and a MeWe post will be coming out to you in the week to let you know more details about prices. We just need to make sure that we're cool with that. So you get the manual with full diagrams and support. You get 17 life-changing magical attunements, Chandali's levels 3 to 8. You get all of those webinars that I was talking about, the fully supported point holding sessions. You get continued support from Peter in the MeWe group and additional support if and when we identify it. You said we have had to have completed part one.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
As long as you've done two levels of Chandali and you've got the basic material, it doesn't matter if you haven't quite finished, you'll catch up. Basically, we're going towards the practical part. The main thing you have to learn about is depreciation, which you start talking about in part one. But as long as you know how to actually expend two motions and discreate, if you've got that far and got to level Chandali, you'll be ready to get one. But yeah, get as far into part one as you can first, though.
And a fabulous question from Esther. When you miss a session of Ultimate Healing Part 2, are there recordings too? Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And those recordings are as powerful as if you attended the recording live. So any attunements or empowerments that are given, you will receive those. And of course, any support that Peter provides energetically to move the point holding session along, you will also receive those as well. So if you are unable to attend all of the webinars, it does not matter. You can catch up on the replay. But obviously, you will want to do that in succession. And as Peter said, you can either do it all solo or you can partner up with someone or get someone else in when and where appropriate. I might be up for shadow work. Oh, okay. Yeah, brilliant. Thanks, Sarah. So we've got Limerie and we have Sarah for a hot seat. Sarah, potentially, for a hot seat today. If you would like a hot seat, do let me know. Okay, so enough from that then. Continue to write your questions. Peter, I'm going to hand over to you to talk about module 6, 7, 8 and particularly the shadow exercise. Thank you.
Okay. All right, let me just put myself in the middle then. Okay, so the main thing I want to talk about is shadow work. I'm sure people want help in that process. So anybody who feels a bit stuck with it, come forward, either ask questions or have a hot seat. What I want to remind you of in this process is, first of all, that everything around you that's affecting you in any way is a reflection of your shadow. We are the ultimate creator in reality, and this we have to realize. We are God. Everything is our creation. And what a shadow shows us is everything we denied about ourselves. It comes from the outside, both good and bad. So a shadow holds both good and bad stuff that we deny. We do tend to deny good stuff as well. Quite often the shame we've brought up with doesn't want to accept how wonderful we are. So your great talents, these all get pushed aside as well. And when they come at you from the outside, it tends to create envy. When you see something like somebody being really creative and you feel envious, it's because they're reflecting your creativity and not expressing. Same with the negatives. You see various emotions being expressed outside. You haven't expressed yourself, like the hatred or the anger and so on. It's showing you what's inside yourself. So we're going to use everybody around you that's having an effect on you, good or bad, as a reflection of shadow. We divide these into two kinds, the reflections and the projections. Projections are ones you have some emotional connection with, like either you admire them or you hate them. Reflections are everybody else close to you. Those close to you, your family and so on, person sitting right next to you, those all there reflecting your shadow. The ones most pertinent though, the ones which have emotional impact, the ones you hate, the ones you admire. And we want to make sure you look at both sides of that. If there's somebody you hate, you look at what you hate in them, as well as what you admire in them. There's usually both in the one person. In the same way, if you look at somebody you admire, you look at what you admire in them, also look at what you hate in them. Quite often, the two sides come together. The reason is because there isn't really good and bad. They're two sides of the same raw power. A common example that comes up quite regularly is that you might have somebody, for instance, who's selfish. You might see that as a negative, but also the ability to look after number one becomes a positive. That a self-advancement only becomes negative when it's out of balance. You don't have to be selfish to look after yourself and put yourself forward. You actually encourage people on the way. When it takes up completely and you see that kind of ability of advancing self exclusively, see a person as selfish. But what happens, though, if people around you are actually good at remembering themselves and you don't? You're the one who loses out. This also comes up with people who have problems with, say, black magicians. Quite often, the quality that's in a black magician are totally selfish. But if you put anybody else first, they put themselves first, who's going to win? They're harassing you because you're not admitting your power and you're not actually looking at ability to look after number one. So this is an example of how it works. One quality can be seen as good or bad. Same with your emotion. You know, you can actually experience intense love, experience intense hate. What's common to those is your intensive emotion. There's power in that. If you need anything intensely, you put that energy into your creation. It's very powerful. If you're capable of one, you're capable of the other. So beyond the negative and the positive, there's always a raw power. And this is what we're trying to own to become whole. So first step then is to actually look at those projections and reflections. Then you're going to start looking at all those qualities and then start looking at the common denominator between the positive and the negative. That's your raw power. In the process, if you go down the meditation, realize there's a point where you have to exchange gifts with the shadow. One thing here is you don't understand the metaphor and you don't have to. That's where you ask your higher self if it's okay to give or receive. Check with the higher self before you give anything. Check with the higher self before receiving anything. If that's okay, you go ahead. You don't have to understand what it is. The reason we do that, check with the higher self, is because your higher self and your shadow are very complex. You do not understand the metaphor. You don't have to. As long as you exchange the right gifts, you're creating a change. You're creating interaction with the shadow so you can integrate it. What you're doing here is making peace with the shadow. It's there anyway, but if it's on the outside and you're denying it, it's coming at you from the outside, it's causing you problems. Once you make peace with it, it's your ally. Thing is, when you make an alliance with the shadow, you always win. If you're fighting a shadow, you always lose. You can't fight it. Also, the other post we looked at on this part of the course is ego. Now, the shadow has the ability to overcome the ego. That's the thing. When you're accepting shadow, it's easy to overcome the ego. See, the ego is separating all the time, saying, I'm better than that. But the shadow is saying, no, that is me. See the difference? Shadow is uniting, ego is separating. And so once you start with the shadow, the ego process becomes much easier as well. The reason I'm not going to the ego process first is because people have the hardest time with that one. The ego is one bitch doesn't like being exposed, doesn't like being shown. You try and point at somebody's ego, they don't like it. And it takes a great deal of courage to come out and actually analyze your ego. He's always running away. It's a process you can do on your own, but once you've done the shadow process, which I'll give you help with, the ego process becomes easy as well. So the main things to remember then is to first look at all the projections and reflections. You're then going to be willing to exchange gifts for the shadow. And you're going to look at what's common to both, the positive and the negative. And that's the raw power you're going to own. When you absorb that, you become whole, more powerful, more capable of doing anything. So let's go on then. Any questions or who's ready for a hot seat?
Yeah, just trying to press many buttons. Okay, so we do have some hot seats. I'm going to go first to Anne. So Anne, are you with us? Do we have you? Yes, she's there. So Peter, if you could please hot seat Anne. And Anne, if you could please unmute yourself. Give Peter a wave, just so
we
can see you.
There we go. Okay, what can I help you with?
Okay. My blockages to move on. I feel, or maybe I'm inventing it, that there is a blockage. Because I am afraid to move on and to use the powers that I have.
Okay, let's go into this feeling first of all. And the first step is to welcome it. So go into this fear. What is it you're afraid of? How do you describe this feeling? Is there something you see going wrong? What do you think? What's the worst thing that can happen?
That I will be accused.
Okay, and how does that feel?
I'm afraid of being accused because I will be punished.
Okay. Now look at how this reflects to your past. What kind of punishments have you experienced when you do something that somebody else disapproves of?
Can you repeat, please?
What kind of punishments have you experienced before when you do something that somebody else disapproves of?
Giving advice, losing friends, just saying out of the blue some things to people.
And what's the punishment?
Losing them.
Okay.
Being alone.
Okay, going to that feeling. What's it like being alone?
I love it and I hate it.
Okay, let's go into the whole feeling of it then. Now there are two sides. There's solitude, which is actually intimacy with self. There's loneliness, which is not so nice. We're just going to that feeling. How does it feel to be alone?
Being alone gives me the opportunity to do it all for myself. Mm-hmm. And being alone is also the curse to doing it all by myself.
And how does that feel?
Heavy?
Yeah, can you welcome that? Just allow it to be there. Do you remember all the times you felt this way?
A lot.
Yeah. Just allow yourself to feel it fully. Just expand into it, let yourself feel it, welcome it. And just remember, you're the observer. This is just a feeling, it's not who you are. It's okay to feel it.
It sometimes brings me to a point by saying what the purpose is of my life.
That's okay. And how does that feel? There's an emptiness with that. Yeah. Go into that emptiness. It's okay.
Because I sometimes don't know what I'm doing here.
That's all right. But first experience the pain, the illness and the emptiness. It's just emotion needs to come out. Just to welcome it. You may have the memories all the times you've been lonely before, and that's okay. They all come up. What have been the worst times when you felt lonely? What was happening?
The worst?
Yes, when was the loneliness the worst? You go back to your life, times you've been alone, the emptiness. When was it at its worst?
When I was a child.
Yeah. Let yourself feel it, it's okay. Go back into it. What was happening?
I felt not at home in my family. There were no parents to support me. And I felt I was an alien or adopted or something that I didn't fit in the family. Mm-hmm. And still don't. So. I had thought my both parents are dead now, and I have no contact with my family anymore.
Okay, go into that feeling. Just remember where it felt when you were a child, you were alone, but disconnected. Observe it, welcome it. Yes, welcome. It keep expanding so we can see the whole thing, the whole pattern, all the life being disconnected.
It is, the feeling is going away because,
that's okay. Can you get into the
I'm closing my eyes and I feel that I am supported.
It's okay, good. What's happening now, you see in the pattern from the outside, you enter that point of discreation. You recognize it, it's not you, it's your creation. You feeling that point?
Yes.
All you can do now is permit it to discreate itself. And just watch it fade in its own time now. Just watch it go. Not trying to make it go away, not holding on to it. Just letting it go. It'll fade in its own time. How does it feel now?
I question myself if I'm letting it go for all lifetimes.
It's okay. What we're going to do now is go back to change it. You're going to go back and give it inner child what you didn't get. Imagine as you're going back now to meet, as you are now, to meet your child. To actually be there for her, give her support and love. And while you're giving her love, you can also give her some gifts. You can give her an emerald, which gives a sense of connectedness. Just feel accepted as a gift as a child and to carry it with you all this time. This is a process you can continue with afterwards, you know, to take some time with your inner child. Go back and give her lots of love. It'll change the rest of it, just replacing what was missing. So how do you feel about going forward now? Is there any resistance? Any fears about going forward?
Because I don't know what powers someone.
How do you feel about that? Quite often it is unknown, but you'll be more powerful. How do you feel about that?
Someone told me a few years ago that I had to be afraid because when my third eye would be open, that would be a lot.
Yes, and, we see a lot. Some of it's not nice, but you also have power to deal with it. One needs to go through the fears. You know, if the fear comes up, you discreate. That's the thing. None of them are real. So you create your own reality. You don't let somebody else tell you what's going to happen or the consequences of your actions because you create them.
Okay.
If something you don't like, discreate it. It's that simple. As you saw now, you go through layer by layer. In this case, it's the loneliness you're afraid of being judged. Okay, done that one now. What else are you afraid of?
Okay.
Anything you're afraid of, welcome it. It'll pass. It's just old stuff coming up. So how are you feeling about going forward now?
Hopeful.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. So, any more problems, give us a call.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Who's next? I can't hear you, Carrie. Are you muted?
Oh, sorry. Sorry. I said, thank you very much, Anne. That was really wonderful. And then I said, next up is Lynn Marie. So if Lynn Marie would please like to unmute herself, unlike me, and give Peter a wave so he can see you and then put you in the spotlight, that would be lovely. Thank you so much.
There we go. Hi there. What can I help you with today?
I think that the shadow work and the ego work is pretty connected for me. So I get some clarity in my dreams where I don't get it in life. And lately I've had dreams about this black woman and this black man and this black child. And to me, not at all at the same time, just at different times. In the dream about the black man, it was a sense of, I was trying to be his friend and he kept rejecting me because I have a real deep abandonment issue. And then the black lady was trying to wake me up. It's kind of intimate areas. And I felt dead most of my life in that area. And there was this black boy just staring at me. It's like this sense of powerlessness. So it's like the yin yang and consciousness of a triangle. It's like an inverse triangle. And my ego in life, it manifests as no matter what I do, I'm not able to connect in groups at all. People don't even see me to reject me. And when they do see me, they attack me and say really bad things. And they steal all my ideas and don't help me. You know, like there's this really intense vampire-like energy around me. So I don't know what that is in terms of a shadow. And it's just, I'm turning 57 this year. This has been going on my whole life. And I've been working on this for so many years. And I'm so frustrated.
Right. First of all, welcome that frustration. You face this problem full on now to discreate it. So first of all, this dream of the black is replica of a shadow. There's the masculine, feminine, there's a child, different aspects of the self. There's all shadow stuff. What they're showing you is the rejection, the disconnectedness, as well as one trying to wake up that positive side, the intimacy. She's there. You know, she's showing you she's still there. She's not gone, but this is shadow. Shadow's holding it. So you're going to go to the shadow work, but first of all, let's stop her welcoming this whole pattern of disconnection. People just stealing from you, not honoring you. How does it feel?
It's like this feeling that on one hand, I know I have strong abilities. Like I intellectually know I have, it's not insecure about those things, but nobody else can see my value or nobody else respects my value. It's like,
how does that feel? As you're saying, you know, intellectually, and it's still you're intellectualizing. I want you to feel it now. Rather than saying what's happening and the ideas
about it. It feels hopeless. It feels like everybody else has a life, even though they're not perfect. But I feel like I somehow need to be perfect to have a life. And it's like I see the human in everybody. I see the potential in everybody, but nobody sees the potential in me. I see the potential in absolutely everybody. I think it's one of my greatest gifts, but I don't think people see that in me. All they see is their own darkness. It's like I'm a dark mirror of their shadow. That's what I feel like. And everybody projects all their demons at me, and then they think it's me. And that's what it feels like to me. I feel sometimes like I'm the devil. It's like I'm the devil.
Go into that. I said, now that's hopelessness. Now you mentioned, that's the emotion you mentioned, hopelessness. Can you feel that?
Like I'm just fundamentally evil or something. Like there's something fundamentally broken. It's like that I'm never going to get better because I did something really bad billions of years ago, and I'm just dealing with the karma of it. Like, it just feels like something is really, really wrong, and I don't know what it is.
Those are the ego interpretations. Just go stick with the feeling. Feel the hopelessness. Feel the feeling of being broken, of being defective. Can you just welcome that?
Just fundamentally unlovable. Yeah. Not... Good. No magnetism at all. Like, I don't even have a soul. Like, I don't, like, there's no magnetism at all.
Yeah, go into the feeling. I want you to keep expanding to this. Remember all the times you felt this through your life. That
my whole life, every day of my whole life.
Great, now welcome that. Really feel it. Remember to be the observer. This feeling isn't you, it's a feeling. It's okay to feel. And just welcome the feeling. I'm going to this feeling of being flawed, you know, damaged, somehow imperfect. Remember all the times that's come up in your life. What's making you feel that way?
I don't know.
Just going to the feeling. There'll be memories.
I was like, when I was a little kid, I don't remember ever being a little kid, you know.
So what happened? You had burdens put on you.
My mother was very unhappy and very poor, and my father left her for another woman. But even before that, she was always disconnected, you know, not connected to her feelings, never told me she loved me. But she was always a good mother as far as her duties. But she was always angry, and I always felt she liked my brother better. And she used to get mad at me a lot and take out all her frustrations on me.
How'd that feel?
I felt like she hated me.
Yeah, go into that feeling. How's that feel inside when your mother hates you?
Like I was the biggest burden she faced. I felt like if I weren't around, then everything would be better. So I always tried to make up for it, you know, by making everything better for people, and it never worked. But... I always put other people before myself, figuring that's what I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. That's your contract. You've taken your mother's shame on, taken the burden, put all your needs aside. Now, first of all, let's deal with this contract. I want you to imagine, go back to childhood, the time that contract formed. Imagine it as a physical thing that you signed and it's tucked away there, somewhere in your home, in your secret places. You're going to pull out this contract which says you agreed to take your mother's burden and put your own needs aside. And first of all, you're going to actually look at your rights to destroy it, you know, almost like you plead it in court. You're too young to make a contract, it's not fair. You shouldn't have to carry that burden. Now you're going to destroy it. First of all, write void across it. Then tear it up. Then put all the pieces in the fire and watch them burn. And while that's burning, you're going to look at the cord that formed to your mother. And
what?
That's ahead of you. You look at the cord that formed to your mother through this contract. Mm. You take on the burden. If you see your mother ahead of you, where do you see the cords attaching to your body?
It's like everywhere. It's just everywhere.
It's okay. Imagine you're taking a pair of scissors. Just going to cut them one by one. And as you cut the last one, now pull out the roots of those cords in the body. It's like they leave the root. You're going to tear them out and throw them on the fire. It may feel like it's leaving a hole, but really like in a moment. First of all those roots out. Burn them all. They're into the holes, you're going to welcome the flowers of mandrake, periwinkle, and water lily. These are going to heal the holes. Now let's go back to look at this shame. We'll see that your mother's dumped this on you. This feeling that you're useless and a huge burden. This is how she was feeling. She's dumped it on you. Where do you feel it in your body?
I think it's like the second and third chakra.
Right. Imagine you're taking a sack. You're going to push from inside and squeeze it all out into the sack. Squeezing it through the pores of the body. This is all dead in the sack. You can hand it back to your mother. Just tell her it's her shame. You're not going to carry it for anymore. She's dealt with herself in some way. She can ask for help, but she's not dumping it on you. It's not for a child to carry. Just hand it back to her. And just walk away and leave her with it. Now we're going to change it. So once you imagine you're going back as you are now to meet the child that you were, to give the love she should have had. Make her feel wanted and loved and welcomed. Take away from that atmosphere and something positive and give her love. What would you like to do? Take her out and do things with her? Dorothy, you're going to give her a gift. What you're going to give her this time is a fire opal.
A what? A fire opal?
Fire opal. You know, it's the
fire? Like fire, fire opal?
Opal. It's opal, which is really like little reddy, shiny, glowy bits. It'll be fiery.
Okay.
Give her that. This will actually restore all that fire, the creativity, the passion. And also give her an emerald, which restores a sense of connectedness. How do you feel now?
I think I can, I feel like I can feel her accepting the gifts, and I can also feel my ego like screaming at me going, stop it, it's never going to work. You know, I can, you know, it's like I'm at war with myself, you know, like it feels like really like the voice in my head is really loud, but I can also, you know, see her, the little girl being happy with the gifts, you know, but there's this really horrible, you know, loud sort of, I have pain, you know, in the back of my head that won't go away, and it's been there a long time.
Go into the feeling of this. Go into this bit, which is shouting at you, saying it won't work. Go into that bit. How does that feel?
It feels like nothing I do is ever going to be enough.
Mm. Go into that feeling. Welcome it.
It's like this fear of being connected. There's a fear of my own creativity, and there's a fear of connectedness. And I don't know why.
Just going to the feeling.
There's a fear of my power. There's a fear of my creativity. There's a fear of my connectedness.
Welcome the fear. You don't have to understand why it's there. Just welcome it, first of all.
Terrified is more like it.
Wonderful. Let yourself feel that. So go into that fear more. What are you afraid will happen?
I don't know. bad things. Like, I can tell you a little bit about, like, when I was in work on Wall Street, I was young and, it was very, lots of men, and I was always small and blonde, and I always got a lot of attention I didn't want. And it felt bad, like evil bad. Like, if I was myself at all, people would do bad things and I would get bad attention. And I was always very smart too, and they wouldn't take my brain seriously. They used to get mad at my brain and only want something from me, sexual, but not in a loving way, in a vampire-y way. So I think part of me has always feared any sense of closeness or intimacy or creativity or vibrancy.
Yeah, let's go back to these people. These people disempowering you. Want to go back to a face that one, go into what it feels like. Now deal with this, you have to encounter your rage.
You're going to have to what?
Encounter your rage. So your rage is there when you're really disempowered and taken, your worth is taken away. This is what's happening. You're too small to deal with it. The animal wants to come out, but it hasn't been allowed to. So first of all, I want you to experience the rage. Can you tell me what animal it feels like?
I'm not sure. I used to think it was a lion, but a lion to me is not rage. It's like my friend in the land of enchantment.
It's
so.
Okay. The panel is your friend, but when it's threatened, it shows its rage.
Sometimes it feels like a dragon or like an evil cobra, king cobra snake or something, you know, like a...
You can go into it.
Like primary evil or something, you know, like snake in the Garden of Eden or something, you know.
That's like all judgments. It's just the animal nature.
I know.
Go back into this whole feeling, these people around you, disempowering you.
Like a snake, and I like gobble everybody up in like one bite.
Fine. Good. Now waking the snake. That's good. So I want to find this snake now. In order to actually make friends with it, you've got to feed it. Mm-hmm. So it's been shut away hungry. So first of all, throw it some things that snakes like to eat, some big rats or whatever. You're going to feed the snake to make friends with it. You're going to speak with it. They know you're ready to let it be an ally again, to look after you, to assert yourself, to protect you. You're going to let it protect you this time. Now let it go ahead of you. It's going to lead you back to these men around you when you're on Wall Street, or to like putting you down, taking your power away.
It wasn't just the men, it was the women too.
Well, let the snake deal with them all. What do you feel it coming out? What does he want to do?
He's eating them.
How does it feel?
Effortless for him to eat them all.
Good. How do you
like
feel?
It was no big deal. It was that, like, goodbye, you're all gone.
Yep.
What?
How do you feel?
Like, a part of me feels like happy that I'm being bad. It's hard to explain. Yep. I feel like a little girl really that feels really happy that she's being bad, that she's done something
really
bad, and she feels
isn't
happy.
Really
she's...
You just expressed yourself, that's all. They told you it was bad. You've taken your power back and you said goodbye. And so it is. It's like, goodbye, they're gone.
Yeah, it was really very like, goodbye, that's it, just like that. No. What?
That's being a
bad. Like, it didn't even have to really chew it. They just disappeared.
Yep.
Slid right down the snake and
right.
Disappeared.
So how are you feeling?
A little better, yeah. Because I like the energy behind that voice in my head has suddenly shifted a little bit.
Yeah, good. That's a start.
Like it maybe through the anger, through the.
I said it's rage. It has to be acknowledged to it. It doesn't go away until you take your power back. That's what it's there for. Mm-hmm. And that's it. It's easy when you do it, isn't it? It's like you said goodbye to them, they're gone, over. That's what you need to do. Doesn't mean you have to eat them physically, but it's how is it energetically. And it'll affect you, say goodbye, you're out of my life.
Is that possibly why I've had such trouble with the Chandali exercises? Is I hadn't acknowledged this anger because...
Yeah. What's happening, that... fighting your own feelings. Chandali brings it all up. You keep going into intellect, trying to explain everything and justify everything. All you have to do is feel. There's nothing wrong with any feeling. You know, don't judge them. But you've learned to judge these feelings as bad. Face that too. That's another feeling. You feel bad, fine, feel bad. That'll pass too.
Well, it's almost like part of me feels bad that I don't feel bad. Like I can almost feel this child. She's smirking that all the people are gone and she's, right.
No, but there's nothing wrong with that. If they've been harping you, of course you're going to smirk when they go away. Nothing wrong with that. It's natural.
She's like, see ya.
Good.
Oh, that's funny.
Then you're free.
Right. Yeah, that's really funny. She's like, bye.
Now, the last thing, something if you look at when you do your shadow work, all these people you shadow as well. Remember, you're talking about how they see only the bad in you. Isn't that what you're doing, seeing the bad in them, how horrible these people are? Mm-hmm. So once you do shadow work with that in mind, all these people in your shadow wheel, you're going to own each one of them. You own your darkness. And realize you're going into it. It's not really that dark, it's just out of balance. When it's balanced with your light, it's power. So do your shadow with all those people. Realize, yes, you've done the same thing. You can also just see the bad in them.
Like I see the bad in only, like I only see the bad in myself. Kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, they see in you, you see in them. It's all reflection, you see. So put all those people on the shadow, on the wheel, and you go around, own each one of them. Acknowledge all these people.
Well, I'd be here for the rest of my life. That's an awful lot of people. No. It's just been...
That's okay. They can all be on the same sun wheel when you go around it. They're all there, all reflecting the same old thing. It's all just one shadow. Once you acknowledge them, you just own the shadow as a whole. And you integrate it, find its power.
What is the power that I'm...
Well, if you really take it out of balance, you know, out of that imbalance, then we're just seeing the negativity. It's actually almost a discernment. You see, like, you don't want, you can say no to them. But you have to see the light as well to understand the other side. Look at these people when they're putting you down. Things there you hate, but actually look at what you can admire in them. Any of those people who are putting you down, is it anything you can admire?
Yeah.
What?
I don't have trouble acknowledging those things. I never did. Yes, but
What is it that you admire in them?
They're very confident. They take what they want. They think they deserve it. They're very connected with other people.
This was from earlier, the ability to look after number one.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. This is what you need to own. Mm-hmm. There's a negative, which is very selfish and puts everything into the worst, everybody else puts them all down. The positive side is that confidence going forward and feeling good enough. When it goes to the dark side, it becomes imbalanced. It goes to ego and has to be better than everybody else. But you take the two side states and be that raw power, is ability to put yourself forward with confidence. So you need to see both sides in your shadow work.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So carry on with that when you do shadow work next, okay?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you very much, Lynn Marie. And next up we have Sarah. Now, Sarah is going to remain with her camera off. But please, okay. Sarah, if you could unmute yourself. And Peter, you might still like to kind of spotlight her. It's up to you. But the camera will be off.
Well, where's the spotlight, Sarah? Okay. This one. Yeah, the spotlight of the greenness there. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, Sarah, then. What can I help you with today?
I would like to get to grips with shadow work. I'm quite similar to Lynn Marie, so that was a very interesting discussion there. I have currently, what I'm looking at is this polarity between enormous rebellious rage. I've always been a rebel, and for me, the opposite of that in my experience is closing down, shutting off, losing confidence, losing my voice, greatly fearing what I've said and how it'd be interpreted. I've endured a lot of persecution, a lot of sexual harassment, a lot of, unfortunately, a certain amount of sexual crime. And I've been on the healing treadmill for many, many years. I have a real problem with powerful people who know it all, abuse their position and take advantage of others or lie, manipulate, deceive. And of course, in the world today, with everything that's going, all the lies going, you know, the agenda, the psychopathic agenda going on around the world, it's writ large for me. So it's on a micro and macro scale. And it's been very hard to navigate through. It's like, I kind of feel that I've had so much stolen from me. And I'm not a confident person. I don't have, I feel pretty powerless often. I'm middle-aged. I think what I find most painful is never feeling I could be truly intimate with someone. It's not that my relationships have been failures, but I just don't feel the depth. I mean, I'm very Scorpio. I just don't feel the depth, breadth, intimacy of it. And that's what I want, even though I'm middle-aged and I feel unattractive. I like my rage. Crikey, that was a slip of the tongue. I meant to say I like my rebellious side, but that is, you know, a certain amount of rage.
Yeah.
But I just feel some of it is endless, particularly with what we're going through.
Okay. I want to go back, first of all, to your adolescence. What was happening to you when you first got rebellious? Back to being a teenager.
I think it started a little under the age of 10. I'm not sure. Yeah. I went from being, you know, a good girl, top of the class, doing everything I was told to do, to, I think it seems to be, you know, I had no memory over this. I completely dissociated, but it seems that I was sexually violated and ended up in hospital. I don't know the ins and outs. Well, not a lot. Flashbacks. Done a lot of work with that. Not through it yet. And I think something in me snapped. So to try and give you an outline, my parents were miserable in their marriage. They were both violent, screaming, shouting all the time. My mother was extremely pushy. I just felt I was never heard, never had a voice. If I expressed myself, it might result in violence. Trying to get my needs met. So I, you know, so that rebelliousness got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm just one of these people that goes around blaring out the truth. But it doesn't make you popular. I end up with that flip side of kind of collapsing, feeling lonely, feeling unconfident, powerless. You know, I don't want to say, well, okay, I'll be honest. There's a certain pleasure in I told you so. But I'm equally horrified, saddened, and appalled by how people are suffering from the jabs in particular. But that it's like I'm, you know, if this, I've been raped more than once, and I freeze. And so I don't know how many times men have just taken advantage of that freeze response, but they have.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where the race has to come in. It's been denied. There's an early contract here. So what there is a conflict. So it's natural to come rebellious when you're a teenager because hormones wake up and you have an intent of a dual will. But this has all been blocked by a contract earlier on. Like already before that, you'd already agreed to actually be good, to obey your parents and take on all the burdens. Which means that it's now conflict with the rebellion side. As a result of that, the teenager can't really grow up. But the rebellion turns to his martyrhood, having to be wise and even dying for your cause. There's no power in it, though, so it doesn't actually make any change. It has to like mature. So first of all, we're going to look further back then to this contract. About 7 or 8 years old. What was happening then?
That's when I was doing very well at school. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that's when this incident happened, not long after that, between seven.
They actually, look at this thing. How were your parents at that time? So there was a reason why you choose to be good, as if you had to really try and please them, make things better.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. My mother was a little bit of a fantasist, and when, I mean, I don't believe this at all, I'm sorry, but when a teacher said, oh, she's bright, or someone said, oh, she's very expressive at dance, or oh, she's got talent at the piano, or whatever, my mum would blow that up and put such enormous pressure on me. Right. You know, she didn't. She wanted me to be either, you know, a concert pianist or a prima ballerina, or marry someone of very high status, or whatever it was. And that level of pressure was, well, it terrified me.
Yeah. But this is what you're trying to do. You're trying to actually please your mother, you see. Trying to fulfill her dream for you because you want to get her approval, make things right for her.
Yeah, and then on the flip side of that is my father was, whilst they were married and present, he barely engaged at all.
So he had all the pressure to perform, but no support.
Yeah.
So it's like a huge burden that you're trying to fulfill that you should never really have had as a child.
Yes.
This is the burden your mother's put on you. And what that does is hide shame. She needs to be really good for her to make you feel better because she feels so bad. You can see how this is a subtle way of passing on shame when you give somebody a higher standard.
Yes.
It looks like they give you a higher standard, but actually it's shame.
Yeah.
First thing you do is give back that shame. So first of all, once you be aware of this contract, going back to about 7 or 8 years old, there's a time you actually agreed to take all this mother's burden to try and live a life that's going to make her feel better. Yeah. Find the contract, and you're going to destroy it in three ways, right? Void over it, tear it up, and then burn it.
I mean, it just set me up for failure. And then anything I do is kind of not good enough or perfect enough. Not that I try to be perfect, but yeah.
That's the shame you've taken on, which is your mother's shame.
Yeah.
So you burn the contract. Now, cut any cords between you. Where do you see the cords attached into your body?
She was vampiric, as I think it's said.
Do you see this contract, letter right in? There's cords formed. If you see your mother ahead of you, where do you see the cords attached into your body?
Kind of solar plexus, going up to the heart, that kind of a little bit. Actually, my throat's joining in, I suppose, because of fears over expression and communication. So it's those sort of areas.
So take a emphasis, you're going to cut all these cords. And you cut the last one, your mother's going to drift away. And you're going to pull out the roots of those cords as well and put them on the fire. Well, they're burning, we're going to heal the holes just by welcoming in the flowers of mandrake, periwinkle, and water lily. Now it's time to give your mother the shame back. So I want you to feel this burden you're carrying for her, all this kind of pressure, all this feeling of not being good enough that you're trying to hide under this impossible standard. Where do you feel it in the body?
Do you know my guts are churning? So
yeah, it's all in there, yeah. You can imagine you're going to squeeze it all out into a sack. Take a sack and you're going to squeeze it all out from inside, pushing it through the pores into the sack. And that's all the shame, that's all the kind of burden, the high standards you're supposed to live up to. It's all part of the same thing.
Yeah, I think she created in me this tremendous level of self-consciousness. I can't even go on camera, you know.
Never mind for now, just squeeze this out. It will go into the sack. When it's out in the sack, you're going to give it back to her and just tell her, you know, this is her burden. You're not carrying it for her. You're not carrying it for her. You're not here to live her life. You're not here to fulfill her needs. She has to face her own shame, her own inadequacies and lack of worth. You're not carrying it for her.
It's funny because I just feel huge compassion at the same time towards her.
And that's all right.
You know.
But at the same time, she actually needs the shame back so she can grow.
Yes.
She won't deal with it when she's coming on you. When she's aware of it, she'll grow.
And you know, she got away with it all her life, I'm afraid.
But then she never grew.
No, she didn't.
When she's got her own shame, she'll recognise her problem and want to grow.
Yeah.
So giving all that the burden back.
Yeah.
Now just go back as you are now to actually meet the child that you were, to actually take her out of that situation, give her more freedom, more love and encouragement, you know, let her be a child. And you can give her some gifts. I'm going to give her a golden topaz, which gives self-worth. An amethyst, which gives self-love.
It's funny, I bought a little, what they call a goddess pendant a couple of weeks ago from someone in Germany. And in it, there's a slice of amethyst stalactites and golden topaz and morganite.
Okay.
I just fell in love with it.
Yeah, the white crystals, then. So just feel you accept those and the energies with you. So let's go back to when you were a teenager again. So what happened to the rebellion? Did you get crushed or were you able to rebel at that time? Did you get away with it, or were you blocked? You stamped back down again.
I was a completely split closet. It's an odd one because I would still be quite good at school and in class and whatever, and then I'd go and shoplift and vandalise. I loved vandalising, loved it. But then my parents split up, which was the right thing to do. My father went off with another woman. My mother, being very beautiful, had no problem attracting someone else, and she got married. But it was a terrible, terrible time in my life. A very close friend at school had died. I was 18, and in the same month, I lost the job, which I felt ashamed of. I couldn't manage it. It was so not me. The corporate world is not me. And I pushed myself through that for many years until I was really ill. And the man she married didn't like children. And I had a younger brother and an older sister. So we're all in our teens and we were told to leave home. And I went into a extremely severe depression for over 4 years. And unfortunately, all I had, well, I At least I had psychoanalysis, but that just fucked me up further.
There's a major power loss there.
Yes.
Even like suddenly being dumped, this is more shame. This like there's a whole pattern of shame from mother. There's more to be back there.
My father, just aghast. He just couldn't be bothered with any of us. Mm-hmm. And I saw him, would see him about once a year or once every 2 years. But I'll be honest, I hated him. I wanted him dead because, you know, of the violence the pair of them caused me.
Mm. Yep, so more shame to give back. That's the thing. I want you to be aware of that time when they just abandoned you, left you, and kicked you out, basically. Again, there's shame, making you feel useless, worthless, unwanted.
Yeah.
Again, this is their shame they dumped on you. So again, squeeze it all out to feel inside. You squeeze it all out into two sacks this time. One for your father, one for your mother.
And I feel mean doing this. It's funny, isn't it?
That's what shame does. When you have too much, it's almost impossible to deal with it because you feel you don't have the right to.
Yeah.
That goes back to the old contract. But, you know, we've broken that. It can move forward now.
Yeah.
So feel mean, that's okay. Be mean. They were.
Well, yes. Unbelievably selfish, but yeah.
So you'd be a bit mean now. It's not really mean because it's theirs in there, but you don't have to carry it for them. To squeeze out their shame. You're going to hand it back to them both.
And I think the trouble was there is no real communication with my father and with my mother. I needed someone who to make sense of things as a teenager, and she would automatically blame rather than listen. And
this is all shame, you know.
Yeah. And the and I was already having a lot of sexual harassment, and I kept all of that to myself.
It's more shame you look at that. Even the sexual harassment is more shame dumping. This is the main pattern. For the contract as a child, you'd be taking a parent's shame and everybody else has dumped on since then. It's all shaming.
Yeah.
So I want to go over each one of them. You can do this later as well. But each of these people, the abusers, you can give them all the shame back. That's the first step. And you might need to use your rage in that situation like we did with Inmarie a moment ago. So basically, you're going to call your animal up. And use that to go back and deal with these abusers.
Yeah.
Tear them to shreds and take your power back. Okay.
Well, that's quite enjoyable because I have a very ferocious black panther for that one.
Thing is, once it's actually done its job of taking your power back, it'll manifest as assertiveness instead. It only manifests as rage because you lost power. It wants to take it back.
Yeah.
So you can lose so much power to survival, then it's like a wild animal backed into a corner. It's going to be vicious.
Yes.
And it's only vicious because it needs to take its power back. So when you work with the rage, you're going to take power back from all these abusers. When it's done, it'll change. It'll manifest assertiveness. You have to be in rage. You just, it's almost like it's walking ahead of you down the road. Rather than fighting for you, it's just walking ahead of you, clearing the way.
Yeah.
Manifest assertiveness. So yeah, that's your work to do for now. Give all the shame back, get your rage, and take your power back.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay. Who have we got next?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was trying to unmute myself, but the button wasn't working. Thank you very much, Sarah. Thank you so much. That's it for the hot seats. And we are at 9:25, our time, okay. Peter. Yeah, 9 p.m.
That's
for us.
Late, yeah.
Yep. So, yes, there will be a replay for today.
Any remember, we've got last session in 2 weeks' time, so if anybody has any more questions, we can always get ready so you can have a hot seat next time, whatever, and we carry on then.
Exactly. The next session is on the 25th of June. So that's in 2 weeks' time, and it will be at the same time, which is 2 p.m. UK time, and it's going to be our aftercare and integration. So any questions that you might have about how to integrate anything that's in Ultimate Healing Part 1, then that is what we will be looking at. I had a question. Oh, yes, one. I've got your question, Esther, and I will be asking that in just a second. If you buy Ultimate Healing Part 2 early, is the length... Blah, 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 blah. If you buy Ultimate Healing Part 2 early, is the length one should stay on a level of Chandali the same as level 1 and 2 a week at each level at least? Yes, it doesn't matter when you buy Ultimate Healing Part 2, the lengths are going to be the same. Yeah,
it's
absolutely
up to you as well. You know, it can vary a little bit according to how you feel. Sometimes you feel ready to move on. Sometimes you feel you need to integrate more because stuff's happening, you know. So go with your feeling. You don't have to be rigid with this. So just work through it in your own time.
And we are going to talk much more about Ultimate Healing Part 2 in the final session that we've got in 2 weeks' time on the 25th. But going over to Esther's question that she did pre-submit, please can you answer this, Peter? Can you describe the difference between transformation and transmutation with examples, please?
Okay. Now, interesting question, because if you look in the dictionary, they both mean change. But let's see what they actually apply to. See, transformation is almost like a natural change, like a caterpillar going to cocoon, become a butterfly. That's transformation. We all go through a natural amount of transformation in our growth. When we actually release something, we grow. There are certain things almost expected. Transmutation, though, is actually a far more advanced form of change that's less expected. It's like changing lead into gold, for instance. That's transmutation. It's what the alchemists do to try and actually make things better. A real deep change on an atomic level. It can change your DNA, change everything, and make you a different kind of being. It's like the least expected times of change. So transformation is almost a natural process. You keep transforming as you're growing, as you're kind of healing and so on. But you get to a point when you actually change such a deep level that you become something totally unexpected. Your power shows, you become like a different kind of being, becoming like a god, becoming something new. That's transmutation. But it also applies to different patterns. You know, you might find emotions can transmute. You might find something that turned lead into gold. Something was a problem, so it becomes a great power. And when you learn how to use it properly. It could be like even some of the folks who look at you, like your rage, your anger. Use that right and you take your power back and you move forward. That's transmuting. It's changing the nature of the animal from this kind of vicious, nasty thing to something that's assertive and moving forward. You're taking energy and changing it around, making it positive. That's transmutation.
And I cannot see who asked the question. I think it might have been Duncan. I'm not sure. So apologies if it wasn't you. But there was a question regarding mantras, saying that they actually find the mantras or reciting the mantras quite difficult. Is there going to be many more in Ultimate Healing Part 2? Well, the answer to that is yes. But Peter, what would you like to say about if somebody finds reciting mantras difficult?
They're always difficult at first because they're unfamiliar. When you've done it a number of times, it becomes natural because you're actually building new neural pathways in the brain. The interesting thing about Sanskrit, they discovered that the shapes of the letters, well, two things about the shape of the letter. First of all, if you actually make the sound on a sandwich, the sound is the shape of the Sanskrit letter. It's like there's some meaning in the sound, it's not just random. But also, that same shape of that letter is actually within your peptide chains and neural pathways in the brain. So you make the sound, you actually speak the mantra, you're actually triggering a certain neural pathway to be lying dormant. You're actually building neural pathways, basically. This way, it's actually producing change. At first, it's not familiar. But after a number of times, generally, when you buy to complete the sadhana, which is like 125,000 repetitions, you actually create a neural pathway and it becomes natural, the power's in you. So basically, take it slowly. First of all, take time to relax. And the important thing with mantras is that you learn to relax into it. What I suggest you do, rather than just start repeating it straight away,
is first relax.
I think somebody was not on mute there. And Duncan is actually referring to more about the time that it takes rather than the actual mantra itself.
Yeah, they do. So when you first do a sadhana, for instance, you're supposed to like do so many a day, like 30 miles a day, which might take you a few hours. This is like a discipline. This is a spiritual discipline. By the time you've done it, you've actually built that pathway into the brain so clearly that it almost flows naturally. By the time you close your eyes, relax, the mantra starts. But the idea is to relax into it. Don't make it a strain. What you do at first is relax. Take a couple of minutes before you even start the mantra. Let the mind become quiet. They may notice in that quietness, thoughts arise naturally and spontaneously and quietly. It's the same kind of naturalness that you want to have the mantra. So you allow it to start just like any other thought, quietly and easily. And you'll find as you do that, the mantra will take you deep. You go deep with it. You relax more and more. At first, you might lose the mantra because you're not familiar. And you come back to it. Many things happen in meditation, and these are okay. It's part of the process. Don't think you have to be perfect in meditation. The mind wanders, stuff comes up. It's all part of the process. You gently bring your mind back to the mantra, and it gradually makes you quieter until it becomes more natural and takes you somewhere deep and develops certain powers. So just don't be stressed over it. Take it as it is. Relax. Take it however it ever comes. It's okay. It's doing something. And it will take time at first. And I said it shouldn't get boring because what happens, other stuff starts happening, takes you somewhere deep, and other stuff starts coming up. It's not just something you're struggling to do. Relax with it. And just let it be what it is.
Thank you so much. And how do you find your Sanskrit name?
I wouldn't worry about that just yet. It'll come in time. Basically, when you start learning about different deities in the kind of Vedic path, something will resonate with you. You know, there's a certain principle which is meaningful to you. It might be an any particular deity you feel closest to. Might be some principle that stands out when you start reading any of the Vedas. But if you don't, it's okay. It'll come gradually. It may be just that it comes to you one day in meditation. A certain deity might say, yeah, I'm closest to you. You'll use my name.
Great.
Just don't rush. Just take it as it comes. You know, don't rush that one.
And absolutely, it's okay to get the pronunciation incorrect. They know what you mean. Yeah. So that's all of the questions for today. That's all of the hot seats for today. And that is it for today. So please do make sure that you've got your calendars marked for 2 weeks' time, June 25th, same time, 2 p.m. Sorry, 2 p.m. UK time, where we'll be doing the aftercare. Remember, you can attend whether you've completed the content or whether you have not. It really does not matter. We are here for you in the MeWe. In the meantime, if you've got any questions at all, about anything related to ultimate healing. Otherwise, you can head over to the Magical Students MeWe group where you can ask any question about any topic. Peter, any final words from you, please?
No, I'll just we carry on next time and we'll tie everything up then and make sure everybody's happy and everybody knows where they're going.
The best of luck to all of you. So we'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you so much. It's our Saturday night, so I can tell you already that Saturday night is glorious. It's wonderful. Enjoy it. Because I've already had it, and we will see you in 2 weeks' time. Thank you so much, everyone.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.